It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 414. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions or suggestions for future show topics. My email address is miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450. And that's Mike Tech Show, all one word on Skype. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow. And send me a friend request on Facebook. Follow me there, facebook.com/MikeTechShow. And we have the wiki. The Mike Tech Show wiki is at mtswiki.com. And there you'll find links to all of the past shows where you will have links to the audio and the show notes for each of those shows. Have a lot to get to, lots of consulting stories, some interesting utilities and tips that I want to get to. Every IT technician knows when your customer needs help, they need help now, and they don't have time to wait. That's why I recommend Instant House Call for remote support. Instant House Call lets you view and control your customer's computer from anywhere, and it's so easy to use. You can try it free right now by clicking the link on my website at miketechshow.com. Here's how it works. With Instant House Call remote support, your customer clicks a link on your website, and in seconds, you can view and control their Mac or Windows PC as if you were standing right in front of it. It's so easy for anyone, even novice users. And best of all, it's loaded with all the features for techs, and you can help more than one customer at the same time. Do a virus scan on one computer and install patches on another. I use remote support for Instant House Call for my clients, and I love it. My clients love it. And you can start providing remote support for your customers today with Instant House Call. It's so easy for your customers and powerful for your business. Right now, my listeners can get it free for 15 days. Just enter the promo code podcast when you download the trial version. Also, as a special introductory offer for all Mike Tech Show listeners, if you purchase Instant House Call, just mention the Mike Tech Show and you'll save $50. Give it a try. And if you have any questions on using the product, send me an email. I'll get you the answers right away with great tech support from Instant House Call. So give it a try. I have a couple utilities that I want to get to that were recommended by our friend Kate. One of the things that she recommended this tool in a tweet a few weeks ago, I know one of the things that I run into a lot, and I'm sure all of you do, is problems with the Microsoft .NET framework. And there's an updated tool for the Microsoft .NET framework repair tool released. This will be one of the first links in the show notes. Begin with repairing or getting the .NET framework. I can't tell you how many times I've ran into it where I've had to uninstall all the different versions, then reinstall. And you know how slow .NET framework is to update. It's just horrible to install. It takes forever. This is a utility that I absolutely recommend that you keep this in your toolbox or on that utility USB stick. Kate also sent this. I've discovered a really nice alternative to Revo Uninstaller. Now, I love Revo Uninstaller. It's called Geek Uninstaller, and it's fast, free, and portable. and it does the extra steps that Revo does. The difference is that Revo's free version does not deal with 64-bit programs. The pay version does. Geek Uninstaller gets the 64-bit out. I've been using it for about a month now on my own systems and on customer systems and have encountered no problems at all. It looks different than Revo, so it takes some getting used to, but it is excellent and you can't beat the price. Kate, thank you. That's a great recommendation. Having a program that will remove and completely clean 64-bit programs. And you know how we're heading to all 64-bit on our systems. And certainly, I'm glad to see all the newer systems that people are buying and getting that they're coming default with Windows 7 64-bit. Even if it's home premium, at least if it's 64-bit, you can crack that 3-gig RAM memory limitation. They can upgrade memory, or maybe they're getting it already with 4 gigs or more, which I recommend. One of my clients this week bought a computer. It was just for a simple need for being able to use the browser to be able to enter credit card information. So for some PCI compliance, we isolated the network and we put a PC in place just for this particular function. And we isolated the network by having this dedicated PC so it was secured and it was away from all of the other computers. He bought this computer from Best Buy and it was Windows 7 and it only had 2 gigs of memory. Why do they sell systems with 2 gig of memory? I don't understand. With Windows 7, it should be 4 gig minimum. I know it can run with 2 gig, but it should be 4 gig minimum. Please, that's the bare minimum that any Windows 7 system should have. I don't care how cheap it is or how memory's too cheap. So it should be 4 gig. I was very disappointed. I said, look, we got to upgrade this. We got to get 2 more gig of memory. And I explained, look, on the next systems, bounce the specs off me before you purchase. And the same with the routers. I recommended a router, and he bought one that had all the wrong specs than what I really wanted. Because I thought he was going to go to, I sent him the Amazon links, and I thought he was going to go to Amazon and get them exactly the way I specced it out. But he didn't have the time, and then the last minute swung by Best Buy to just buy it quickly, just to get it done. And that can end up costing more money in the long run, because we're going to have to get it right. Sometimes I put my foot down when it comes to switches, any of the network infrastructure. Sometimes my clients will say, well, I could go get that. I was like, no, let me get it. I want to make sure we're getting the exact item that I want you to have. This is what you're paying me for. You're paying me for my recommendations. We got that one system that's got to be upgraded. Just reminded me why you have to step in and put your foot down and take control sometimes. And the clients want to do it. They'll buy the wrong thing if they're rushed. And that's why you want to make sure you got plenty of time and you can do this. I want to get to some more client stories. I get a panic text message from a client that says, Mike, the FBI has blocked my computer. The first thing I text back and I said, look, I'll call you, but please, the FBI did not block your computer. What has happened is that probably is the infection that you're talking about. And one of the links, well, actually a couple links tonight, is one, if you get this screen where your PC is being blocked by the FBI and you get this formal, almost looks like an email, and it's attention, your PC is being blocked for this reason. They want you to go buy a money card for $100 from a store and then come back and enter that information. You can go to CVS, Rite Aid, Kmart, Walmart, Walgreens to buy this card. And once you get this money pack, you enter it. You're basically going to give them $100 to unlock your computer. Well, no. So he was all scared. And one of the things that we had to do, and I'm going to put this in the show notes, is if you go to bleepingcomputer.com and you search for this particular infection, they have a rogue killer download link, and this actually took care of it, and that solved the problem. And then I had them run the malware bytes and, you know, and super anti spyware and just make sure that everything's cleaned. There's another reason I'm linking this. Kaspersky's rescue disk also will clean this. And one of the things that you should have is, and they have really nice links here, to download the Kaspersky rescue disk as an ISO so you can build a bootable disk, and then also how to make it on a USB key. So you can, you have two separate downloads on making the bootable disk or having it on a USB key. And the instructions here take you through exactly what the rescue disk will look like and the options that you have to pick in using the Windows Unlocker feature of Kaspersky to basically unlock your system and get it back. Because one of the things that he was real scared is he couldn't do anything on the system because it completely locks you out. And unless you go into safe mode, and safe mode, he had full control. So he had no problem getting to safe mode. And once he was there, I had him run Malwarebytes, and that did not do it. So Malwarebytes did not eliminate the infection. And that's when we had to go a little deeper. And see, the first thing I did without even doing any research, I said, boot in the safe mode, run Malwarebytes, and let's see what happens. So then once I did a little recon for him, we were able to get the infection cleaned up. Now, Vince in the chat, great idea. And he says, did he go into a different profile? And usually it will just jack up the profile it was infected on. That's a great solution. I didn't have him do that, but you know, it made me think, you know, just as Vince put that in the chat window here, you should really have another profile untouched, maybe called backup, or, you know, you always have your administrator profile. You should never log in as that. You should log in as a user that is administrator or has administrative privileges. That's actually a pretty good idea, which is to have another profile created sort of as a backdoor in and never use that profile and just have that there as a quick way to get into a system. And sometimes that has worked for me, but you have to have that profile already created and you may not have the ability to create it with the infected system. That's sometimes an issue. That's why I'm recommending now, well, let's get it created early. Or you're right, it may infect all profiles that are there. And so the question is, how do you, if you have something that's system spread like that, maybe it's infecting all the profiles. So how would you create a new uninfected profile? And how would you get that created? A question I'm throwing out there as I'm thinking about the answer. Lots of ways of getting in. And another recommendation in the chat, of course, is Super Anti Spyware. Bull 422 recommended that. I always have that. As a matter of fact, today I had an infection on a laptop, got a call from a client that I haven't had to do much work for and called me and said, Mike, my laptop, I know there's an infection here. You know, I'm getting a screen, Microsoft Security Essentials can't fix it. Stuff being blocked, Malwarebytes saying it's blocking something. So we did a good cleaning, and Super Anti Spyware is the one that found things that Malwarebytes did not. Or Microsoft Security Essentials could only quarantine but couldn't clean it. Now, Uncle Al in the chat says TDSS killer. And I have that. And I've downloaded that a lot. And it only takes a few seconds to run. I have never seen TDSS killer find anything. I know it looks for very specific things, but I have never had that in all the infections that I've come across. I've never had that find anything. Anytime I run that, it always just, there's nothing bad. Again, something that can run fast, that may be able to get something and find it, hey, you got to have it. I guess the point for all of this is Kaspersky. They have a bootable CD and USB stick, and those links They're in the show notes for tonight's show, and you'll be able to get to those programs, download them, and use them and keep them with your toolkit. You're better prepared for infections. Couple things that I noticed, I think it was last week, Chrome is now available for the iPad and the iPhone. I've been playing with it a little bit, and fast, pretty nice. I think you got to go through some hoops to try to make it your default browser, so you can't quite make it the default, but works nice. I've been using it more on the iPad because I really don't use a browser on my iPhone, but I do use it, you know, quite often on the iPad. And go to the, you know, I like having the full websites on my iPad than use like the mobile version of a website. I prefer the full version if I'm an Amazon or Newegg. Chrome has just been very fast, working really, really nice. Wanted to give that a thumbs up. If you're out there and you want an alternative browser, Chrome's available. Just go to the App Store, type in Chrome, and you'll be able to download it for free. Have this email from Steven. And this is in response to, I redid my system, and I mentioned last week that I went from the 64-bit version of Office 2010 to 32-bit. And boy, this just confirms it. He says, Mike, thanks for the heads up on a recent show about the 64-bit version of Microsoft Office 2010. I just upgraded because of the annoying security features update to Office 2003 that made opening network files slow. The workarounds didn't always work. I was going to buy the 64-bit version until I heard your recommendations to stick with 32-bit. Thank you. I didn't make the mistake. Microsoft agrees too, and this is from their fact. Will Office 2010 products be available in 64-bit versions? Yes, Office 2010 products are available in 64-bit versions. However, the best productivity and user experience, Microsoft recommends 32-bit Office 2010 for both 32-bit and 64-bit operating systems. Office 64-bit is optimized for advanced data analysis scenarios that most users don't require, and existing 32-bit add-ons are not supported on Office 64-bit. And that was my biggest complaint, was that there were so many different Outlook add-ins and Office add-ins that I wanted to try, they don't work with 64-bit. Why is that? Why can't developers, why can't they use the API and develop their apps and their add-ins for 64-bit? I don't get it. But anyway, since nobody in the world is supporting the 64-bit version of Office, then we're stuck with 32-bit and go forth. Do not recommend the 64-bit version. Stick with 32-bit. It's just going to make life easier for yourself, for anybody you're supporting. And until the rest of the world decides to embrace the 64-bit version of Office, we are stuck with 32-bit. Steven, thank you for finding that from Microsoft, and I'm glad I was able to help you. I have a bunch of work that I have to get to after the show tonight that I'm going to be doing remotely for some clients. One of the, matter of fact, one of my clients has the unattended instant house call installed, and I'll be remoting in, and I have to fix his Outlook profile, where this is very strange, and I'm going to explain. It's a 4 or 5 person office, and they need their shared contacts to be able to, they have an account literally called shared, and those contacts they need to be able to get to on their mobile devices via ActiveSync. So it's an iPhone or whatever device they have that's using ActiveSync. Well, you can't synchronize public folders. So you can't have a public folder with Exchange and have the contacts in it, because that cannot sync with ActiveSync. It can only be an actual account. So in order to get these shared contacts, so they have this one account that literally everybody is added as the owner of this account, and that account has a set of contacts with many contacts for the company, and everybody needs them, so everybody can add them. But here's the funky thing that they need. When they hit new for a message, they want to get to the address book. And in order to get listed in the address book, you've got to go through hoops in order to have those contacts addressed. And we went through a convoluted process back with Office 2003, and it worked, and everything was nice, and there was no errors. Since they've moved to Office 2007, Outlook 2007, it's still Exchange Server 2003. When I go through this process, they now go where first you create the profile where it's the user, the shared user. Then you say, I want the contacts to be added to the Outlook address book. Then you change the profile instead of the shared user to be the regular, the normal user, and have his data and profile added. Once you do that, every time you restart Outlook, you get an error saying do you want to use the temporary data file? So it's an error that I probably lost everybody here, but it's an error that I keep getting and I keep replicating, but it's the only way to get these contacts to where they can get to them in the address book with the drop down. It's a real pain. Anyway, I got to go in and rebuild someone's profile tonight. Here's what I'm looking for. The real answer here is there a way to automate the contacts that are in this particular user's account to get them to sync to a public folder contacts to where they only enter the contacts in one place? That's one. How can I sync automatically or on a scheduled basis, even if a program that can run that can sync all the contacts that's in user A's account with a public folder contacts? Because if I can get that to happen, I can get everything to solve with no errors. But I need an automated process. I'm looking for recommendations on how to get that to happen. A recommendation here: have you looked at a product called MX Contact? No? So I want to thank Red in the chat for quickly recommending MX Contact, and I am going to take a look at that, because if I can solve this for my client, man, he's going to be very, very happy. Because ever since he's upgraded his systems to Windows 7 and Office 2007, if you want this feature, then you got to live with this error every time you launch Outlook. Now, if you never close Outlook, then you don't have the problem. Any help, just send it to miketechshow@gmail.com. Something else I'm working on tonight, I have a laptop from a client that's using this for home, so I didn't have to supply it. But this user may occasionally do some remote work. And if she does, and she does this back to the corporate network, well, we got FINRA compliance that we got to worry about. And so I was really glad the president said, look, have Mike encrypt that laptop. So the first thing I did was pick up their backup YubiKey. Now, the YubiKey, we've talked about in the past a long time ago. It's a way where you can use your finger to enter and have a password to be sent to be entered wherever you need it. And what we have is a 64-character password that was randomly generated for each user that upon starting the computer, before the operating system will boot, TrueCrypt will now ask for that password. And the only way to do it is to put this wafer-thin USB YubiKey into the USB port, press with your thumb for like 1 second, and it will enter that. That's password one. You can have a second password where you can hold this little place for your finger, and if you hold it for 4 seconds, then you could have a second password entered. Now, I'm going to have links to YubiKey, but also, not only that, I got an email from Roy here that says, did you know that YubiKey works with WordPress? Now, I know Winston Wolf a regular contributor to the show and often in the chat and a friend and consultant. He is the one who brought YubiKey to my attention and then was with me when we were doing the project for this client when we were talking about security and a way to keep everything locked down and really take it to the next level. He demonstrated his YubiKey to the president of my client, and the minute she seen that, she was sold. It was like, done. I want 40 of them. But the 20 workstations and then a backup. And that's what's important. So I make a backup YubiKey anytime I make one, and then each computer has a different number. And what I'll do is, and I put just a little number, so this way there's no identification. If you lose this, someone would look at this and have no idea what this is for, how it would be used. It's just impossible. So what I'll do when I'm working on this system, so I'm going to have this laptop, to make sure it's the same password that she's using, I now borrowed the backup YubiKey. So we have a locked box with combination that me and the president are the only two people who have the combo. Anytime I need to work on a workstation where I'm on site, I need one of these YubiKeys. And anytime I'm going to duplicate something for somebody, like if it's a home system for them, I'll get the backup YubiKey and then use that so that now the primary user can have their single key and be able to use it for their home computer and their work computer. This person now has two home computers that have whole disk encryption with TrueCrypt, just like their workstation. And that's what I'm doing on this laptop. It's important to be aware of all of the possible compliances that you got to go through. And I think that's why it's important and a way to keep clients where I'm on top of that. In the financial industry, for the encryption and all the FINRA compliance, I'm right there. I'm on top of everything and making sure that my clients that have to worry about that compliance, I can take care of it. Just like my client that had to worry about PCI compliance. Now, PCI compliance is from the credit card industry that you have to certify with a self-assessment first, answering a bunch of technical questions. And this is where I'll help the client answer these questions and then help them. First, we identify the gaps between them answering the questions and then what it would take to be compliant with each of these. I will identify the gap and then remediate the gaps. Okay, this is what we're going to do to solve these gaps between them not being compliant and being compliant. And I will identify those things and then work with them, whether it be the network infrastructure, making some changes, maybe it's doing a better lockdown of their wireless, but usually it means separating and isolating systems that are dealing with any portion or any piece of a credit card for a client. You got to make sure that they are secured and isolated from the rest of the network. When you get a new client, ask, are they responsible for being compliant in any way? What are their compliance issues? And let them identify, oh, okay, we deal with medical information, so they have to worry about HIPAA, or it's because the size of their company, it's Sarbanes-Oxley, or it's PCI because they take credit cards. Make sure you identify that up front so you can have an eye on everything you're doing to help them. You use that compliance eye as you're solving or recommending things because you got to ensure that they are compliant. That's why I wanted to share some of these things with you, like being able to use the YubiKey or TrueCrypt, which is a great, great free encryption software that I use all the time for anybody that needs whole disk encryption, and it works perfectly. I love it and highly recommend TrueCrypt all the time. And if you got any questions on any of this, let me know. Send me an email. Maybe you want me to dive deeper into some of these topics of compliance if they interest you. Right now, I'm skimming the surface. But if you want me to get into any more detail or you need help, let's say you need some additional assistance, contact me and I can help you. And I can't solve everything. I can't do everything. but I can put you, maybe get you into the right direction, steer you to the right company or to the right consulting firm if you need help beyond what I'm able to do for you. Make sure you don't get caught with a compliance that, you know, you're being audited and you fail an audit and then there's fines. So you don't want that to happen. And you don't want that to happen with any client. Keep all that in mind, and hopefully some of these tips will help you out. If you are purchasing anything from Amazon, please take a moment before you make the purchase. Use my link, amazon.mikenation.net, or the link miketechshow.com/Amazon, and search Amazon, make your purchase, add it to your cart. Because if you use my link first before you go there, everything you purchase, no matter what it is, I will get a commission, and it helps support the show. And this summer has been phenomenal so far. Thank you. Thank you for all of your support in using my Amazon link. I couldn't be happier. You're really helping me out, and I really appreciate that. And share that link. Thank you so much. And also, don't forget, give Instant House Call a try. I love it. I use it. Give it a try. And if you got any questions, let me know. I'll help you out, or I'll get the tech support. We're at your beck and call to answer any questions. Thank you. And stay cool, everybody. Hope you had a happy and safe 4th of July if you were in the U.S. or wherever you were celebrating it, the holiday. Stay cool and stay safe. And have a great weekend. And we'll be back here same time, same channel next week. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.